You are listening to the best, the only place to be on Tuesday night. That's right, you're listening to The Right Stuff, and you're at the right place at the right time. From England to Canada, from Detroit to the Coconuts, we are showcasing Christian authors worldwide, giving you tips, tools, techniques, and resources for you, the writer, to hone and perfect your craft. Tune in every Tuesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, right here on WPJC 104.5. And your host, Parker J. Cole.
Hi, and welcome to another edition of The Right Stuff. You are at the right place with the Queen of Tuesday Nights. So let me tell you, this show is the one for you. If you like to hear inspirational thoughts, you want nuggets of wisdom that will help you not just learn about life, but guide you through life, this book, Wheels of Wisdom, is for you. Our guest co-host and contributor today, Tim Bishop, is going to tell us what he's learned from the seat of a bicycle. So I cannot wait to delve into his book, Wheels of Wisdom, which is an award-winning book. So make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy today on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. I want to thank all of you for your support of my newest release, A Bride for Valentine. My next release will be coming out, guess what, guys, tomorrow. It's the third book, my third book in the Silver Pines series. I'm so excited for you guys. I've been just waiting and waiting for that book. It's so good to have your support. I never take it lightly. So thank you, thank you. Thank you so much for joining me on this road as a writer, and I cannot wait to get my 19th work out to you. If you want to call in and weigh on our topic, you know you can by calling in 646-668-8485 and then press that 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag write stuff with your questions and comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers, only to be told your themes are a bit too religious? We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
If you are an author looking to gain visibility for your books, then AuthorShout.com is the place to go. We have a wide variety of affordable products and services to include a member zone that will help you get the word out about your books. Our team here at AuthorShout.com specializes in creating stunning digital products to include book banners, teaser videos, book trailers, book covers, and a whole lot more. So what are you waiting for? Stop by AuthorShout.com today and let our team connect you with a world of new readers.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the Queen of Tuesday Night, Parker J. and her guest.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Bright Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, I am so very glad you are here with me today for the show. If you are looking for wisdom, if you are looking for inspiration, if you do not know where to go, why not hop along on this ride as I talk to Tim Bishop, and he is the co-author of the book Wheels of Wisdom. There's so many things that he learned from riding on a bicycle from the seat of a bicycle, that guess what? He had to immortalize those words in a book, and that book is available for you today, right now, if you go to Amazon.com or wherever books are sold to get your copy of Wheels of Wisdom. It has won numerous awards, and there's a reason for that, and you'll find out right now. So, Tim, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. Glad to join you.
And thank you so much for joining us today on the show. I never, ever take it lightly to have our guests on the show. So thank you. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, you're welcome. My privilege and pleasure.
You know, I can always read your bio, but that always doesn't give us the veil or peel back the veil of who you are. So go ahead and tell us who you are in your own words.
Okay. I'm a guy that's getting a lot of gray hair on his head at this point, so I guess there's a little bit of wisdom from that. I was raised in a small town in the state of Maine, right on the Canadian border. And spent much of my life in Maine. Worked at a company in the finance department for 26 years. And kind of when I left that position and reinvented myself, that kind of converged with meeting Debbie. I had been single all those years, and Debbie had been single all those years as well. And when I left that job, I relocated to Massachusetts after marrying Debbie. So Debbie and I started married life at age 52. And thereafter, I've kind of morphed into doing some coaching for young people on a volunteer basis over the internet chat for young people in crisis on kind of late night on weekends, and doing some writing and publishing during the week. So life is good. I still have done a little bit of business consulting, but not so much since we've relocated since to Tennessee. So we've been here 4 years now.
I have to have you just simmer on that really quickly because, as you already know, I write romance, okay? And it was just so cool to hear that you guys started your married life, for the lack of a better term, later in life, you know? And so you have to send some words of encouragement out to some of our listeners out there because I know for a fact there is someone still waiting for God to send them their husband or their wife, and they may be saying, I'm this old now or it's never going to happen. Can you encourage them out there, please?
I would love to. And actually, you've hit on what inspired our first book called Two Are Better, Midlife Newlyweds Bicycle Coast to Coast. I didn't tell you about that part of the story when I gave my bio, but Debbie and I were seeking companionship for many years. Debbie lived in Massachusetts. I was in Maine. And, you know, I came to this point in my life after having prayed a lot, other people were praying about that issue in my life, where God gave me a sign, actually four of them, and they were premised on the verse Isaiah 40:31. And if you're not familiar with that reference, it's those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I kind of was given that verse by having different eagle sightings in different places. And after that occurred, I really had a strong sense that God hadn't forgotten me. And this was back in the 90s, so this was, 10 or 15 years before I ended up marrying. But I learned contentment in my circumstances. I had a lot of good things going on, a lot going for me at the time, and was able to enjoy that part of life and that season of life. But, boy, when God answered that prayer for both of us, what a spectacular time that's been and continues to be of you know, we enjoyed single life, and now we come together as marrieds and celebrate it with a bicycle ride from Portland, Oregon to Portland, Maine. So, you know, it was just awesome how God answered that prayer. And, you know, I guess the message is it's never too late. And, you know, we continue to grow. We've been married now 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we had a lot of life experience coming into it, so maybe that accelerated our bonding as a marital couple. But, yeah, no, it's marriage is a good thing. It really, God uses it to help you grow. And, you know, there's benefits to being single. So for those who are still waiting for companionship, I would say keep praying, keep seeking, but don't miss the benefits that you have now as a single.
There is something to that. There is something to that because, like you said, you know, you were single for a long time and you enjoyed that singleness. Some people think you can't be single and happy, and then some people think you have to be married and miserable. They can't see that there's joy in both of them. And, you know, me being married for going on 12 years next month, I totally understand. I always call my husband the bane and bliss of my existence. So that's what I call him sometimes, is that. But I'm glad that you said that because you want to enjoy, you know, whatever state you're in, to be content. That's what the Lord calls us to do. So I'm glad you said that. And I know that's going to lead to our topic about wills of wisdom because you met this wonderful woman and then you guys learned a lot by going on a bicycle. So tell me, I know I can just naturally assume that you like to bicycle, but tell us about that journey of bicycling. Had you always bicycled? Because, like, for me, and I'm not ashamed to admit this, but I can't ride a bike. I can't ride one. So I don't understand what the joy would be from that. But tell us about that journey or about what it's like or what bicycling does for you and why do you enjoy it so much?
Yeah, I would characterize myself and probably Debbie, too, before we married, as recreational cyclists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I might go out on a weekend and go, you know, for a ride of 20 to 30 miles, you know, maybe a couple times a week. Maybe I'd go, you know, after work on a midday week, you know, midweek night for a similar type of ride, but nothing really intense. It was, you know, riding a bicycle is a great way to basically zone out a little bit and kind of get away from whatever issues may be challenging you in life and, you know, get away from some of the details, but it also gives you time to think. So it's a really good place to hear. And even hear from God, hear from your inner, you know, self, but also how God is working in your life. And so Debbie and I brought these two interests, and Debbie's very, you know, energetic. She loves to ski. She's kind of the adventuresome one, or more adventuresome one of the two of us, for sure. And she liked to bicycle as well. And so when we came together, it was just kind of the question after I proposed to her on the top of Cadillac Mountain in Acadia National Park in Maine was, what do you think about bicycling across the country this summer? Because I'm out of work now. and Debbie's a school teacher, so she had her summers off. And so she was all over that. There was no hesitation at all. So we figured out, you know, what we had to do to do a long-distance bicycle tour, as well as plan a wedding, basically from the end of April to mid-June was when we got married. So we proposed April 22nd. We married on June 19th, and on July 3rd, we were at the Pacific Ocean starting to pedal east. And
wow.
We'd never done, neither of us had ever bicycled on tours, hadn't done any overnight, you know, type of stuff. So it was all a new experience. We actually went into it thinking, well, we'll just see what we can do. We'll get the gear we need if we're able to do a long trip. But maybe we'll just be out there for 2 weeks, find an airport, and fly home. You know, this is a honeymoon, so let's not put a lot of pressure on ourselves. Mm-hmm. But after 2 weeks of cycling, we were like, you know, we had a little bit of an injury issue in Great Falls, Montana. Mm-hmm. We had to hole up for a few days. And mm-hmm. after we got through that, it was like, we've got this. Let's go mm-hmm. for it. So it was an awesome time. We liked that experience so much that mm-hmm. we've gone on 4 more tours.
Oh, wow.
And after the first 3, we assembled kind of these aha moments from the road that taught a life lesson, maybe a practical piece of wisdom, spiritual truth, and put those into this book called Wheels of Wisdom. So that was 10,000 miles worth of life lessons.
You know, I resonate with that because I just can't imagine doing that type of recreation, but, you know, it brought you guys together. And so I want to kind of get just some more detail about Wheels of Wisdom, because you used that whole experience and poured it into Wheels of Wisdom. And so tell us about one of the lessons that readers are going to get when they read Wheels of Wisdom.
Okay, let me see. Which one will I pick? I'm going to select one that's deeper into the book. It's called Hell's Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
Hell's Canyon is an actual place, and it's between Oregon and Idaho, and it's on the Snake River, which, you know, kind of hewed out the canyon how many ever years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go down into Hell's Canyon, it's about as hot as you might imagine. You might use that term to describe how hot it is. But we met this fellow coming into that day where we rode down into the canyon. We met him on the other side of it. And I should explain first that our third tour was actually a fundraising tour for an organization that Debbie and I have volunteered as Hope Coaches for. I kind of mentioned mm-hmm. earlier I was involved with Internet Chat. So on that tour, we were trying to raise money and awareness for youth in crisis and this chat line.
Mm-hmm.
So here we were, you know, decked out on our bicycles with emblems, you know, for this Hope Line organization, and we go into this restaurant and we're eating lunch, and all of a sudden this guy comes in and he's just ranting and raving about the people down at the campsite, and they were trying to convert him the night before, and you know, he goes on and on about, you know, Christianity. He's kind of poo-pooing it, and you know, just, you could tell he's a very angry man. And at some point, I stopped him and I said, you know, what if what they told you is true? And what if the Bible is true?
mm-hmm.
And that just set him off even worse. So he kind of, I guess we ended up being able to go out and escape that scene, and, you know, outside Debbie and I were saying, what in the world happened to him to make him so angry?
Mm-hmm.
So we ride down into Hell's Canyon, and we get down there, and this fellow tells us, you know, we're camping in a tent, and he's next to our campsite. He says, boy, you better get going early in the morning. He says, it gets so hot here when you're trying to climb out the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So naturally, when the morning comes, you know, we're 56 years old and sleeping in this cramped tent right after 70, 80 miles of biking. So we got going later than we should have. And
mm-hmm.
so we ride along the canyon, and we meet this couple, and they're from Scotland, but they're going across the U.S. east to west. So they stopped us and talked for probably a half hour. By the time we started climbing out of that canyon, it was over 100 degrees, and it was hot. And you know,
oh my goodness!
The water's just pouring off us. So we go for several miles and get halfway out of the canyon, and it, and there's this kind of a pit stop out there with a restaurant in it. And so we went into there and ordered lunch and got something to drink. And who walks in but this guy that we'd met the day before?
Oh, my goodness.
He glanced at us and just looked the other way. He just didn't want anything. But he was older than we were. He was riding a recumbent bicycle, which had to be brutal coming out of that canyon.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the obvious takeaway was it pays to consider before you die where you're going to go when you die.
Hmm.
And we got to wondering about him cycling across the country in this heat with tractor trailers and dogs chasing him, wildlife and campgrounds. It's like, oh, my goodness.
You know, the thing that you mentioned, too, is that he talks about how hot it gets. He warns you about hell, about this place, Hell's Canyon, which, of course, you can't help but see the parallel between being warned about how hot it's going to get, being warned about that. Is that something that you delve into? You don't have to read it to us right now because we do want you to read an excerpt from the book a little bit later on in the broadcast. But is that something that you go into? Because here's a guy warning about how hot it's going to be. And like you said, what if the Bible is true? They're saying it's true. And that's the
right
case. You really have to ask these questions regarding your eternal resting place. And we're not talking about the grave. We're talking about where we're going to live it, with Christ or without him. And so tell us a little bit about that, Tim.
Yeah, no, I would say you're spot on there, you know, because we're, you know, as I'm coming out of that canyon, Debbie looks at her little thermometer she has on her compass, and it's over 100 degrees, and I get to thinking about hell. I says, and I thought about the guy from the day before, and just, man, can you imagine how hot that must be? And, even the name of the river, the Snake River, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was so much symbolism on that whole ride through there that it was just very striking.
Mm-hmm. It's like the Lord is talking to you, and he's letting you know that he's giving you these gems for your book, Wheels of Wisdom. And for our listeners out there, we're talking to Tim Bishop, and he is the co-author, along with his wife, Debbie, of the book Wheels of Wisdom. And this book has won many, many awards. It's the 2018 winner of Best Book Award from Christian Inspirational, and it's the 2018 Next Generation Indie Book Awards from Christian Nonfiction, and then a 2017 National Indie Excellence Awards Inspiration. So this book is just tripping over many, many different awards, and there's a reason why. The reviews of this book are absolutely phenomenal. So what are you waiting for? Go ahead and get your copy of Wheels of Wisdom today, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break, and when we come back, we're going to delve more into Wheels of Wisdom. If you want to ask a question, call in 646-668-8485 and then press that 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter, Parker J. Cole, hashtag right stuff with your questions and comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
The Speculative Fiction Cantina is your weekly hypodermic injection of science fiction, fantasy, horror, alternate history, and things weird and wonderful in the world of books and writers. You'll hear from writers who bend the rules and drive the narrative. We ask authors the hard questions. We do the show in our pajamas. Join S. Evan Townsend on this journey over the rainbow and through the looking glass. The Speculative Fiction Cantina on Rightstream Radio, every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? Sormag Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. Sormag Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for a new reader to get in front of, Sormag Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on Sormag.com or order a print issue on MagCloud.com. If you would like more information about Sormag Digital, check us out on Sormag.com or contact us at Sormag@Yahoo.com. Sormag Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests right here on The Right Stuff. Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, so very, very glad you are here with me today. We are talking to Tim Bishop, and he is the co-author of the book Wheels of Wisdom. If you're looking for more out of life, if you want wisdom, if you want not just something to inspire you, but to guide you, you want to pick up your copy of Wheels of Wisdom. Tim and his wife, Debbie, after three tours totaling 10,000 miles, have learned a lot from the seat of a bicycle, and they're going to impart that knowledge to you in their book, Wheels of Wisdom. And once again, Tim, thank you so much for being with me on the show and for sharing your journey with us. One of the things that you mentioned before the break, as you were talking about the illustration of Hell's Canyon and an unbeliever's vitriol that they kind of blew at you, and then they're warning you about how hot it is. You can't help but see, you know, hell, the Bible speaks about, you know, snake. I mean, all these things are coming at you. There's a lot going on here. And I know that's just one of the experiences that you got while you were on your tours. But go ahead and let us know, as the reader goes through your book, what are some other nuggets of wisdom that they're going to get from these pages?
They're going to get the type of advice that you might hear from a life coach. You know, if you're struggling kind of to jumpstart a certain area in your life, maybe you're stuck with a decision, you can't move forward. Maybe you're fearful of things, mm-hmm. and you're just hung up on trying to make progress. Debbie and I have done coaching. It's aimed at young people, but you have to remember that, you know, we were 58 when we wrote this book, so mm-hmm. we've lived a lot of life, and you know, we share from the perspective of people who have coached on different issues, but also obviously the inspiration that God imparted as we're out there contemplating the glory of America, life, and the challenge of cycling long distances. They'll okay. get pieces in this, of course, that relate to perseverance, because that was a big element of, you know, trying to make progress on a long bicycle tour. And they'll also get the, you know, the encouragement to celebrate, and how to celebrate the victories in life and look for the what those are. So, you know, some of it's on, you know, attitude types of things. So it's all over the board, but it's all spiced with a lot of inspiration.
That's the nice part about the book. It's going to probably appeal to a wide audience. But if someone was listening to what we're talking about and they wanted to know, hey, who would be interested in this book, go ahead and tell us who that person or who that ideal reader would be.
Well, the book is themed from an adventure standpoint. So although it's bicycling, you don't have to be a bicyclist, but bicyclists probably are going to connect with some of these
okay.
themes. People that like outdoor activity will connect. But other people who just embrace adventure or are interested in how adventure can teach you things will enjoy that right from the seat of a recliner. So it's, it's kind of, a lot of it has to do with moving forward, change, and just how God moves in your life.
I like the fact that that you're using something that you both enjoy, which is bicycling, and putting spiritual truth to that in the book. So I know your book was reviewed by Publishers Weekly, so I got to know, how did that come about?
That's a great question. I was shocked it came about, frankly, because we published the book. But Publishers Weekly has a platform called BookLife.com, and they steer self-published content to that platform. And it's basically all self-serve. There's no, you know, back and forth connection with Publishers Weekly. But you can submit your material on that website, and it funnels into their system. And they do select some of those, submitted titles for review. So make sure you've got a great cover and some good endorsements, and go for it. I mean, it was. I thought, we're never in the world gonna hear back from this. You know, we're one
right.
of how many thousand people. But it was an unpaid review. I mean, you can buy reviews from their select program, but we did not pay for this review. We just submitted through BookLife.com, and several months later, we got a notification by email that said, congratulations, you passed a screening. You might get reviewed. And then we waited a little while longer, several weeks, and lo and behold, a review pops up.
That's beautiful. I like that, because if you don't put your foot out there, if you don't even try, you'll never know what can happen if you go ahead and take that risk. And for those of you who are listening to The Sound of My Voice, we're talking to Tim Bishop. He is the co-author of the book Wheels of Wisdom, and he's taken his journey along with his wife and the truths they learned while bicycling, 10,000 miles total. So go ahead and pick up your copy of Wheels of Wisdom today, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. Now, I know this isn't your only book, so how does it compare to the other book that you wrote called Two Are Better?
And that's a great question. In a nutshell, Two Are Better is a memoir, and it's a testimonial. Wheels of Wisdom is a devotional. So it's really more about, you know, reader participation in Wheels of Wisdom. And in Two Are Better, it's more about just enjoying and seeing what God had done in somebody's life. From a book publishing standpoint, Two Are Better actually is a full-color book. So the pictures that Debbie and I took across the country are featured in the book. And Wheels of Wisdom, although it has photos, is not color because we wanted to have a lower selling price on the book.
When you decided to create Wheels of Wisdom, was it something that the Lord was telling you that you had to do? Like some of my guests on the show in the past have had dreams. They've had someone just, you know, encourage them out there. How did the genesis of Wheels of Wisdom come about?
You know, book publishing, I'm sure you know because you're an author, it's difficult. After we had published our first book, it's, you know, you don't typically get the sales you hope for, and, you know, you're leery about spending more money and diving back in with the time required to do these things. But when we came back from our third tour, and that was the tour where we were trying to raise money for the Hope Line, this internet chat service for young people, there were so many special moments from the road from that tour that it just felt like we have to do this. I mean, these are moments that should be memorialized and shared with people because they're they're God moments. You know, people were praying for us during that journey. It was so evident to us because we'd run into these, you know, quote, coincidences that were just too coincidental to be coincidences, if you know what I mean.
I
do. Yeah, and so, I mean, when we toured those first three tours, we went through the discipline of writing about each day's activities, you know, where we went, what struck us about the area, what might have happened, who we might have met. And so we had blog content that already was out there that helped us, you know, kind of became the basis. We could go back and look at that and enrich it and edit it and, you know, develop it to come to a book. So we really had a lot of the concepts and work done as we actually traveled along, but it was a matter of refining it and developing it and seeing how it all fit together when we got to the publishing side of it.
So one of the things that you mentioned in the book is that, you know, this book is going to help you about adopting the right mindset. And what do you mean? Let's define some terms here. What do you mean when you say adopt the right mindset? How does that create us from being, let's say, victims into victors?
We had a set of lessons. We call all these devotionals lessons in this book.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a whole group of them that really talked a lot about approach and attitude. You know, what's the framework from which you conduct your life? How do you make decisions? How do you conduct your, you know, what makes you tick? And so those types of lessons were really all, we thought of it as mindset. So, for example, you know, one of the things is, do you approach life from a faith standpoint? You know, there's, you know, we're following these bicycle maps turn by turn to get through these tours. And it was such an analogy for the Bible. You know, we have a resource in the Bible that's a guidebook for life. It will help you go through life turn by turn, understand, you know, the emotional implications of things, the spiritual, the consequences. So it's just kind of before you embark, if you will, on your journey through life or your journey through activities or your job, how do you approach it? So that's really what we're referring to there.
And for those of you who are listening in, we're talking to Tim Bishop. He is the author, the co-author of the book Wheels of Wisdom, which is available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. And what he's doing is sharing just a few snippets of wisdom from that book. And when we come back from the break, he's going to read an excerpt from for us so we can enjoy just some of the things that he told us about in Wheels of Wisdom. But if you don't want to wait that long, make sure you go ahead and get your copy of Wheels of Wisdom today, available on Amazon.com. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. When we come back, we'll be listening to an excerpt from Tim Bishop and his book, Wheels of Wisdom. And don't forget, you can call in at 646-668-8485. Press that one.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
God gives humans the gift of making amazing stories to glorify Him. At SpeculativeFaith.com, our ministry is to help fans explore fantasy, science fiction, supernatural stories, and beyond from an intentional and biblical Christian perspective. We share daily articles and have extensive archives tackling hot topics like end times beliefs, the art of writing, creative excellence in the Christian subcultures, discernment, sex, magic, Harry Potter, and space aliens and the Bible. If you are a parent or anyone else with a discriminating palate, our reviewers explore fantastical novels, movies, television, and games in light of God's beauty, goodness, and truth. Want to find Christian stories? The Specfaith Library lists every fantastical novel we can find from a Christian author. It's all part of our mission to discern, engage, and enjoy fantastical human creativity in honor of our Creator, Jesus Christ. SpeculativeFaith.com, exploring fantastical stories for God's glory. Engaging the culture's imagination through speculative fiction, The Untold Podcast produces audio fiction from a Christian worldview. Find us over at untoldpodcast.com, where we partner with authors to tell science fiction, fantasy, supernatural, and horror stories. Find links at untoldpodcast.com to subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, and a variety of other platforms. Each month we produce high-quality audio fiction that's free to download and free to listen. Our submissions are open, and we're always looking to add another great story to over 24 hours of narrative entertainment. Find all of our audio fiction over at www.untoldpodcast.com.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests, right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. We're talking to my guest co-host and contributor today, Tim Bishop. He is the co-author of the book Wheels of Wisdom that he wrote with his wife, talking about all the lessons he learned after three tours totaling over 10,000 miles. For some of you, you may not be able to believe it, but you can believe it once you pick up a copy of his book, Wheels of Wisdom. And Tim, once again, thank you so much for being with us on the show. As I told our listeners that you're going to be sharing with us an excerpt from the book. So go ahead and tell us and show us what you got.
Okay, I'm going to read a piece from Lesson 24, which is called Facing Fear. And just to set this up, Debbie and I were in Clearwater National Forest in Idaho and faced a climb through Lolo Pass the next day. And there was a fellow there in the campground that had been through the pass, and we were asking him all sorts of questions, and we were kind of dreading it, thinking, are we even going to be able to do this? So I'll pick it up here. After 40 miles of relatively easy climbing alongside the peaceful and picturesque Loxa River, we arrived at Loxa Lodge in Powell for lunch. We gathered ourselves and replenished food and fuels for the stiffer climb ahead. The beautiful accommodations provided a welcome escape from the wilderness outside, suggesting the backcountry would not continue indefinitely. Vigor and began to work our way up the mountain pass. The road narrowed and began to curl around the mountain, just as last night's neighbor had described. Trucks and motorcycles sped around the curves like nobody's business, like they belonged there and we didn't. We protected our own narrow space near the ever-diminishing shoulder as the ascent steepened. There was no turning back or stopping now. We would never be able to start from a dead stop on this incline. Sightseeing was also a bad idea. Although inviting vistas beckoned, we needed to concentrate on steadying our loads on this treacherous roadway. We were one rubberneck away from an accident we couldn't afford in this remote setting. As we crawled up the road, we met curve after curve and dispatched each one with the slow persistence of cyclists who knew no other way. The curves and the road were challenging, given the traffic, but the grade was not. Furthermore, the steep ascent adjacent drop-offs I had imagined did not exist. That was just as well because we had plenty of other things to deal with. Soon, however, a road sign signaled our near arrival at the top. We were about to slay this dragon, just as we had the mysteries of the dark the night before. Somehow our arrival at the summit was anticlimactic. The Lolo Pass Visitor Center was closed. No one was around. The long shadows and unmistakable chill of dusk meant the sun would soon be setting. We had tarried too long at our morning campsite, and now we were paying the price. Fear of the unknown often surpasses the reality of what we will encounter. Our mind plays tricks on us, creating what seem like insurmountable barriers between us and our destination. Until we decide to move forward, fear cannot be unmasked. Rather, it grows into an ever larger specter, threatening to clamp us in place. Our ride up Lolo Pass had exposed fear as a fraud. Once again, the shadow of fear had been far more intimidating than the experience itself. The physical challenge was the least of our struggle. We needed that lesson because we needed the emerging confidence for the 3,000 miles still ahead. So that's the piece, and then it goes on to basically turn it around and ask the reader how that might apply in their life, you know, this specter of fear.
I like how you use the analogy about how fear can be bigger than the actual reality of what you're trying to do. And I think about that a lot as we talk to our authors whom God has called to write, and they let fear stop them from doing what God told them to do. So I really like the fact that you have used that part of your journey and shared with others, because we don't want fear to stop us. But at the same time, fear is very real. Maybe it's not real in reality, but it's very real to us. So just based off your experience cycling over the country, how would you give some advice to someone listening to what we're talking about, saying, I want to get over my fear? What are some of the advice or nuggets of wisdom you can give?
Well, as you suggested, there are different types of fear. And fear, it can be a very healthy thing if it prevents you from, you know, harm, basically. I mean, when we were climbing up that mountain pass, if we weren't respecting the cars coming along the corners, we would have been in big trouble physically. So you do have to kind of respect the object of the fear when it's appropriate. But sometimes our mind takes things that maybe are just not worthy of our respect in terms of fear, and it makes them up to be bigger than they really are. And you really can only gain victory over those things when you stare them down and you move forward in that direction that is giving you so much fear. That's really how you combat it, is you face it and you work through it. Otherwise, you'll never leave your driveway.
That's for sure. I know sometimes I listen to alternative news every once in a while, and that stuff can just scare you to death. You're thinking, I need to go buy a bunker. I need to go get this special ointment. I need to go buy this special non-collapsible parachute that turns into a house, that turns into a bulletproof vest, because something bad is going to happen. Sometimes when you watch some of the prepper shows, some of those alternative news, you get filled with fear, because fear sells. Fear gets people to buy things. Fear gets people to fall into paranoia. So I'm glad that you used that, because sometimes the fear, like you said, casts a shadow larger than the actual object that you're trying to either come up, go over, accomplish, etc. So I'm glad that you used that example, because we don't want fear to stop us. We want to use fear in the way it's supposed to use. Like you said, I don't want to get hit by a car, you know. So you have to be careful, you know, let the car go first, let the Mack truck go first. You win. I don't have to win this one, you know, things of that nature. You know, I'm on the bicycle. You're in the Mack truck. Have at it, you know. I don't have to win that. So, you know, I like,
you know,
that
the irony,
examples there.
The irony is often that the things that may get you in trouble are not necessarily the things that you fear. You know, that's been true on our different bicycle journeys. If we have any problems, they usually are things that we would never have expected or thought of or been fearful of.
Yeah.
So to invest a lot of mental energy in fear that is overblown is really counterproductive.
Now, you've talked about this a couple of times, and in the few moments that we have left, because we're getting close to the end of our show, in the few moments we have left, talk about Hopeline. You mentioned it earlier on in the broadcast, but go ahead and use this opportunity to share what Hopeline is and what people who may want to help you with Hopeline, what they can do.
Okay. The Hopeline is a ministry that was started by Dawson McAllister, who's a longtime youth pastor. Dawson used to be on radio way back in the day. He was on Christian radio, and he was in secular radio at times with his show DM Live. And he would field calls from young people, usually teenagers, about their life issues and help them right on the air. Well, they created this hope line as kind of an overflow for the people who were not able to get on the air with him. They could go out on internet chat. The URL is www.thehopeline.com. And young people can go out there now, and there's a lot of content from blogs that Dawson has written over the years about, it's all issue-based, so if you're struggling with cutting, suicide, depression, whatever it is, you find all sorts of goodies out there about those things. And if there's a live coach online, these young people can go in to actually get a live chat, a one-on-one chat with the coach, and share their issue with the coach and try to get some wisdom. And the protocol on the Hope Line for the coach has always been to offer, you know, and ask permission that they could share what the Bible says about the problem, you know, the callers or the chatter is dealing with. If they grant permission, you share. If they don't, you still try to help them. And at the end of the interaction, ask permission if we can pray for them, you know, for their issue.
Prayer is a very powerful, powerful tool that we often underutilize, for sure, because with prayer, you can change things. You can change your whole, like you said, your whole mindset, and you can change the way you view things, because sometimes if you pray over the things that you're fearful of, if you pray over things that you want the Lord to handle, guess what? He wraps us in his desires, and our desires become whatever he wants us to have. So I'm so glad that that exists for young people who are looking for someone to talk to. They're looking for someone to try to understand what they're going through. And you hit on some tough topics there. You talked about cutting. They may have thoughts of, to be quite honest, suicide. Teen suicide is on the rise. Not even teen suicide, but young children committing suicide. So I'm glad that they have this outlet through here to hopefully get help for those who are looking for help. So I commend you for that, Tim, you for you doing your work there. So thank you so much for sharing about that ministry. Now, how have readers responded to Wheels of Wisdom? What has been some of the initial response, besides all the many, many awards that the book has won?
You know, we don't hear a lot from readers, to be totally frank with you. It's a question, I think, as an author, you often wonder, probably none of us get as much feedback as we'd like to get to understand what's happening out there in reader land. But, you know, we've had some feedback through, you know, reviews and whatnot that, you know, give us encouragement that the book is meaningful to some of the people that are picking it up. So that's been the primary means of feedback. You know, I have taken a lot of the kind of the one-liners from the book and pushed them through Twitter over the past, you know, couple of years. So, you know, the content is out there for, you know, for people to, you know, hopefully benefit from and share with others. So
the other thing I want to ask you is, what are some of your other projects that you are working on, or you and Debbie are working on? Tell us about that.
Sure. When we produced Wheels of Wisdom, it actually had 60 lessons in it. And their editors were saying, no, 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 you got too much in here. And but they wouldn't tell us what to take out, and they didn't think that, you know, they weren't willing to nominate some that weren't good enough. So we actually went through those 60 and pulled 8 out that might have had some overlap with some of the other lessons, and we put them in another little e-book that we called Metaphors in Motion, Wisdom from the Open Road. And I've been working on getting that small little e-book actually into a print format. And we have another e-book that we published as a companion to our first book, To Our Better. It's called Bicycle Touring How-To, What We Learned. And that's a kind of, you know, if you want to do a tour, kind of going at it quickly like we did from the ground up, here's what we did and here's a packing list and have at it. So that's a little bit bigger in size than Metaphors in Motion, but again, it's not a a large book. So I'm converting those to print. I've also written a business, it's a niche business book, currently titled Hedging Commodity Price Risk, a Small Business Perspective. And that tapped into the knowledge that I had gained from years of trading heating oil futures and options in my former job. And that's been in ebook format for several years, and that is a pretty good sized book. And I've been working on converting that into print and also rebranding it. I'll probably call it either Hedging or Hedging Demystified, with a subtitle that explains what the book's about a little bit better than the current one does. So, lots of work. Also,
nothing
working
wrong
on
with
a
that.
On a fiction account, actually based on the story I talked about earlier, Hell's Canyon. Debbie and I wondered a lot about whatever happened to that guy. I wondered so much that I had to determine what happened to him. So it's going to be the basis for a fiction book that I started last year until I get waylaid, but I really want to get back into that. And periodically, I also write articles for CBN.com, devotionals that appear out there. I'm a regular contributor there.
You know, Tim, it has been absolutely wonderful having you with us on the show today. But we are out of time, and so I want people to have an opportunity to follow you online. So go ahead and tell us what your social media outlets are.
Sure. We have a website, openroadpress.com, and we have a Facebook page, Open Road Press. And you'll also see Facebook pages for the different books, Wheels of Wisdom and Two Are Better. I have a Twitter account that's probably one of my larger followings. It's at TimBishop4. That's at TimBishop and the number 4 on Twitter.
You know, this show is always about encouraging authors to pick up the pen and write, to utilize the gift that God gave them. And so in the very few moments we have left, go ahead and encourage our listeners out there to pick up the pen and use the gift that they have within their bodies. Go ahead and encourage them out there today.
I'd love to do that. You know, God gives us all unique experiences. Debbie and mine happen to be, you know, this midlife marriage and these bicycling adventures, but everybody's got a story, and everybody has something to share that's unique from anyone else. So if God has placed on your heart to share those stories, writing is a great way to be able to do it because it's a permanent memorialization of it. There's so many tools available now to get the word out that were not available, you know, 15, 20 years ago. So it's, you know, I just encourage people to go for it and go for it with the intent of sharing what God has placed on your heart and only expect returns that he's going to use it in some way, and you may never know how.
Tim, thank you, thank you. Thank you so much for being with us on the show today. Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for letting us peel back the veil and discover more about who you are, the ministries that you work with, and the projects that you will be putting out hopefully soon. So thank you, thank you. Thank you so much for being with us today, and I cannot wait to have you back and have you back real soon.
Well, thanks a lot. I really appreciate your time and your interest and what you're doing for authors.
We were talking today to Tim Bishop. He is the author of the book Wheels of Wisdom, he and his wife Debbie, and is taking the lessons that they learned while traveling over 10,000 miles while bicycling. If you like to bicycle, this book is for you. If you like to read an adventure, this book is for you. If you're looking for not just inspiration, but guidance, this book is for you. If you're looking to get over your fears, this book is for you. If you're looking for godly wisdom, this book is for you. This book is for everyone who wants to learn about life in Wheels of Wisdom, available at Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So if you want to know more about Tim, make sure you visit his website at openroadpress.com. You can also follow him on Twitter at Tim Bishop and the number 4. Make sure you stay connected with this young man and his wife, because let me tell you, there's more where that came from. And there could be more where that comes from with you too. If God is calling you to write, if he's giving you that gift, why won't you do what Tim said? Go for it and write stuff. Thank you for joining me for this edition of The Write Stuff. I'm the queen of Tuesday nights, Parker J., and you have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of The Write Stuff. Follow Parker online at parkerjcole.com. To hear this show and other shows, visit the show archive at thewritestuffradio.wordpress.com. We'll be back same time next week, 7 p.m. Eastern Time.